I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. No turning back. No turning back. I had planned when I was working with the creative team to receive our new members earlier in the service than now, but we're going to do that in just a little while. I just felt a nudge of the Holy Spirit that His work in regards to those who may want to join is not yet complete, and maybe He needs to talk to you a little bit through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. In case you're ready to join the church, there's an opportunity for you to do that in just a little bit. Turn in your Bibles with me to James chapter 4. I want to thank Bill for bringing the word last Sunday. Jeanette and I and Mom and Dad had a wonderful privilege to go down and participate in the dedication of our second, now, granddaughter, little Miss Avery. So we went down to Princeton, where Paul is serving as minister of music there. We got to see their new house. We got to participate in the service and just see how God is just pouring out His blessing. I mean, I probably tell Jeanette 10 times a week, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. I believe since I've seen you, I have some more bragging rights. Our daughter, Alyssa, and her husband, Josh, and big brother, Brogan, are now home this morning taking care of little Miss Hannah Marie. And we welcome her into the world. What a blessing, I'm telling you. And the miracles just keep on rolling as we see God doing what only He can do. Amen. The miracle of birth is such a beautiful thing. And I just, you know, you hear about, you know, babies being born and new life coming into the world. But when they're part of your family, it just takes on a whole new dimension. And I've just been kind of walking on air the last couple weeks as we've seen God move. And we just praise Him for what He's doing. Thank you for your prayers and support. God has answered prayer. Thank you. It's good to be with you, though, this morning, especially on this Sunday. Here we have a baptism, at least one planned. And here again, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. Say, I didn't come with the intention necessarily of getting in the water this morning. But I wanted to share from God's Word today because I believe that His Word is living and active. Amen? And we're not so, you know, tied to the order of service that we pray about and spend a lot of time developing. We're not so tied to that to believe that God may just want to do something that we hadn't yet imagined. Amen? So this morning, I want to invite you to be thinking about two things. Three things, actually. Number one, if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have not yet come to the place of asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to cover you with His grace, I want you to know this morning is for you. I would like for nothing more than to see another individual, another of my friends, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in salvation. Yesterday afternoon, a couple of us were here setting up the baptistry, and Jay, I believe you asked how many have been baptized through, you know, in the context of Living Well Church. And of course, we're just one church, part of God's larger body, but started naming them off, and what a blessing it has been to see, you know, so many of the young people that are here today had the privilege of baptizing. We might have been out at the Quality Inn in the swimming pool, might have been here, but God has really blessed, and the names and the faces, though they may not be here this morning, God may have called them on to another context in worship and serving. But it has been a privilege to see one after another come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and say publicly, I'm a follower of Jesus. I have decided to follow Him. The second thing I'd like to invite you to think about this morning is becoming a member of this local church, which is part of a larger context of the International Church of the Nazarene. Living Well has a unique mission and vision. We believe that when Jesus comes into a life, that He brings and administers help and healing in every area of life. That's not a new message. That's the Bible message of the total transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might be a little bit shocked to think that some churches don't really go all that far. They keep the spiritual component of making a decision for Christ in a little box. And we just believe that God calls us to total transformation. That when Jesus comes into our life, He is going to bring help and healing to our emotions, to our mental health, to our physical health, to our relationships, to our finances. He's going to administer His help and healing in every area of life. That's the message of holiness. That's the message of His total transformation of our lives. Amen. And as we thought about, early on in the days, even before Living Well Church became into existence, thought about what could a name be that would communicate the essence of this whole truth to our culture. To the secular culture that we are rapidly moving into as part of this global community, this secular culture that doesn't understand why we're here, what the commitment is all about, what is it? So Living Well. It was a term that even secular ears understand. It means that when a person is committed to living well, they're going to need to address all the areas of their life, their physical, their emotional, their financial, their relational. And so we began to see corporations put gyms in and daycares in, and we thought, God is doing something. And now, there's many, many churches named Living Well, and Montel has a show named Living Well. I even seen a cereal the other day called Living Well. I'd like to think that we started that, but we didn't. Amen? I'm kind of amazed that we got the website, livingwellchurch.org, which other Living Well churches are frothing at the mouth over. Back when we started and began to look for websites, there was only one other church named Living Well, and it was in New Zealand, and they snagged up livingwellchurch.com. But really, livingwellchurch.org fit who we were the best. Because we're not for profit. We're here solely for the sacrificial purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And the life-changing transformation that occurs in every area of life. This word of holiness, total life transformation that Jesus brings, communicated to secular ears. Amen. Living well. Holistic wellness. In John chapter 4, Jesus encountered a woman of Samaria. She was standing by a well. You remember this story? And as He began to talk with her, there were so many barriers there. Racism. She was a woman. He was a Jew. So many barriers there. And one by one, through conversation and relationship building, the walls came down and she became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she went back and told her friends, you got to come see who I've just met. Living well. Jesus is the living well. Jesus said, invites us this morning to drink from the water He gives. Amen. And when you do, you'll never thirst again. Amen. Our world is hungry for that message and thirsty for that message. Finally, I'd like to invite you to be thinking about making your public profession of faith through water baptism. It's not something we just do. It's recorded throughout Scripture that the followers of Jesus Christ were baptized. It was important for them, and it was important for the world that looked on to the church to be making a public statement that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That not only helps us because we become accountable to a local body and not just wandering around out there all by ourselves, but it also communicates in a powerful way to our world that we're ready to make a stand and say, though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen. I am willing to be publicly identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. This morning, our Bibles, James chapter 4, we're continuing in our series, no catchy title, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If you have your Bibles or would like to follow along on the screen, it'll be there in just a few moments. We like to make plans, don't we? There's probably not a week that goes by that I am not in a conversation with someone in regards to what God's will is for their life. James is addressing something that he is sensing going on in the church in the scriptures that we're about to read. We have this little red dot here. We know what that is. If we were to have a map here of Ogle, Lee, Whiteside, Carroll County, we would note that this moment, right here, right now, we could put a red dot to say that I am at 113 East 1st Street at the mini mall location of Living Well Church. That's where I am. And it goes to a broader context of when we think about where we are in our life, we all want to make a mark. We all want to put a red pin, stick it into a map, and say, I have lived and I have made a mark. People know that my life has had significance. James goes on and addresses the inside desire of people to make statements about where they are, where they've been, and where they're going. Now, we don't look at that as prideful or arrogant, do we? Not necessarily. We think that these words sound, they have an air of confidence, and that's good, I suppose, in the right context. For an individual to come up to you and say, I know where I've been, I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm going. Come back from the edge a little, John. Sounds confident. And we like that. The problem is sometimes we don't always get it right. And sometimes we venture out in ways that because we want to sound confident and because we feel a sense of self-worth and self-security, we feel that we can adequately support our projections of where we're going to be next year, where our income is going to be next year, what we're going to be able to do in our retirement, what we're going to be able to do to support our kids through college, what we're going to be, and we stand and we think, I'm going to make these declarations of the future, and I am going to hope that God blesses, but on my sheer grit and determination, these things that I proclaim are going to come true. And I've heard it said more than once. A person will make declarations and then say, people laugh at me, but I'm just going to have to prove them wrong. And they'll work diligently at a goal that they have set. And like I said, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to set goals. It's not wrong to be confident about our future. But James has some words for that, to temper us in regards to the plans that we make for the future. All of us want to find our place in the world. After the first sin in the Garden of Eden, it became the driving quest for man, for Adam and Eve, and for everyone who followed. Everyone who was then separated from God by sin, the driving quest in their life was to find meaning for their life. Of course, before the fall, we all knew exactly. Adam and Eve knew exactly what their role was, what their goals were. They were to live in fellowship and harmony with God, and then they sinned and changed all that. After the fall, of course, the first sin in the Garden of Eden, the natural repercussions of our disobedience of God were cast into place. Adam and Eve were cast from the perfect environment that they were created to live in. And we, subsequent generations now, have invited the same curse on ourselves and on the earth, as we've been trying to find our way back to paradise ever since, except with this one exception. Paradise for me would be a place where I am ruler and I reign, a perfect place. But you see, we can't do that. God didn't create us with the capacity to rule and reign our own lives. Amen? As Adam and Eve walked in the garden, God, as their creator, gave them a few simple instructions. It was just as simple as this: just recognize me as your creator and sustainer. And I just have a few things that are going to help keep you in relationship and keep you safe. But Adam and Eve didn't do it. And neither have we. Our scripture this morning is James 4:13-17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, and carry on business and make money. James says, well, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and yet doesn't do it sins. I want to welcome especially those of you who are watching and joining us via live stream this morning. Mark does a wonderful job trying to keep up with things. There's always innovative new equipment that would be so beneficial. Some of the things we're doing the hard way back there with a regular tripod, and just bear with us as Mark tries to keep up with me the hard way by tracking with me through the camera there. James identifies a root cause in these verses, a root sin. A root sin that all of us are born with. It's the original sin of arrogance and pride. It finds its expression in living in an attitude that disregards God's will and plan for our life. And it simply finds its expression in arrogance and pride. Here, James talks about the problem of making our arrogant assumptions, plans about the future. Like I said, it's a problem that had its beginnings clear back in the Garden of Eden. We know that it wasn't that Eve just craved an apple. That it wasn't like she was just walking around the Garden of Eden saying, man, I'm hungry. I really, really want an apple. It wasn't that at all. It was something much deeper. It was an issue in regards to who was going to call the shots in this creation that God has created. God said, let me do that. Got a couple ground rules. Don't eat from that tree. You can eat from any other tree in the garden, just don't eat from that one. Eve says, yeah, but I have an appetite to eat from that one. Here, Adam. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they didn't have any clothes on, and they were ashamed. And they went and hid. And so begins the story of the fall of man. As America became increasingly secularized in the 1970s, and I have a limited context because I'm only 50. But I remember back in the 70s, I remember preachers talking about humanism and how it was kind of creeping into the church and creeping into culture. And I was like, what is humanism? I have no idea what humanism is. Well, it's this that James is talking about. It's this that I have claim on my life. And with humanism is an accompanying disregard for God. Here's how it plays out. If I'm in control, and not this idea of God, if I'm in control, well, there are no moral absolutes unless I say there is. And if I'm in control, truth is relative to the situation. There is no absolute truth. And if I'm in control, there's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as action or inaction being right or wrong, because I'm the one who gets to say whether or not I get to do it or anyone else gets to do it. Here's what the Bible teaches. Not humanism, but rather God-centered relationship and living. Here's how it plays out. In humanism, we believe, and boy, we've made some incredible scientific advances, and don't get me wrong, they're wonderful. In the medical community, I'm all for it. And we believe in the Church of the Nazarene that sometimes God brings help and healing through the hands of the surgeons. Amen? We believe that God uses medical advancement to administer his healing. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he does it supernaturally. And sometimes he waits until heaven. But we believe that God brings help and healing in every area of life. But humanism believes that it is within the human capacity to solve every problem known to man. Nobody's ever been on the moon. We believe that we have the ingenuity to come up with a way to put a man on the moon. And we did it. Or at least most people think we did. Humanism believes that every human dilemma can be solved by human ingenuity. And that we don't need this idea of God. God teaches us through his word a different way. God teaches us that the human dilemma is only solved through obedience to God. And because of his love to us, for us, he has a new way for us to live. The biblical perspective of who God is and who we are, when we see that the Bible teaches that we are lost and in need and struggling, and we are in need of a Savior. We believe the Bible teaches there is absolute truth, and we believe the Bible teaches that every action or inaction has consequences. James, back to James 4. Pastor James is referring to the church. He's recommending to the church. He's commending to the church a correct perspective for living. And he says, no matter, I'm paraphrasing here, no matter how advanced we become, we will always be, no matter how advanced humanity becomes and how many planets we populate or whatever, or cure cancer. No matter how advanced or ingenious we become, we will always need the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we have been designed and created to live in continual acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. And an acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus Christ, his claim on my life. Back when Jeanette and I, well, she still does, but when we were working in Rockford at the mental health clinic, there was a lot of talk about mindfulness, and we used it as a therapy skill. And it was very beneficial because you could sit down. It was good for the therapist as good for the client. Sit down and you just begin to relax and you begin to just get in touch. I mean, life goes so fast, right? Mindfulness is all about getting in touch with what's going on. It's a way to relax. And you begin to focus on your breathing. You begin to focus on relaxing, you know, your ankles and your calves and your knees and your legs, and you kind of walk through your body and just become aware and just let down and begin to relax. You begin to address your thoughts, your racing thoughts, and you begin to slow down. And that's good, but it only goes so far. You see, James is saying we need to be mindful about God, his word, his claim of lordship, and his sovereignty in our life all the time. We need to be acknowledging and mindful that he loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life. Amen? Mindfulness of God, his scripture, his lordship, his calling on my life. Pastor James is reminding us, hey, you who are planning big, listen up. Remember, anything can happen. Our lives are but a vapor that appears for a moment and then it's gone. James says it's not wrong to plan, but it is wrong to plan as though there is no God, as though there is no sovereign one who created and flung the planets into place with his fingers. It's wrong to see yourself as the center of the universe and begin to make plans contingent upon your strength, your ability to carry it out. James says, wait. I want to save you a bunch of emotional and physical and mental strength. Just acknowledge God in your plans. Acknowledge that he just might have a different plan than you came up with. Amen? And a better plan. But you see, sometimes in our rush to affirm that we are worthy, that we are capable, we will set plans in place and say, tomorrow, next year, I will do this and I will do that. And it's not wrong to plan, don't get me wrong. But it's based on the wrong thing. If it's based on our abilities, if it's based on our capacity to you know, change the world, to build a tower, to do things, to rally people. James says that's wrong. You have to acknowledge that you are but a dot on the map. You're not even a dot. You're a vapor. And who are we to think we have the ability to forge ahead and say, I'm going to do it, in the context of there is no God and I can do it all without him? This idea is foolish. James says, come back home and acknowledge that God sees that attitude as arrogance and pride, and he has a different way for us to live in acknowledgement of his lordship, in acknowledgement of his sovereignty. So we want to follow God's positioning system, God's GPS. All right, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and might have it to the full. John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, making plans apart from God without saying, Lord, what is your will in this? Before we make any major decision of our life, Before we make any decision of our life, and every decision is spiritual, whether I brush my teeth in the morning or not, it's a spiritual decision. Because we are acknowledging or not acknowledging God as Creator, Lord, Sovereign of the universe. And that He has a claim on my life and plan. But we want to make sure that the plans of our lives are not created by me and based on my good planning skills, but rather based in humility and say, Lord, I am yours. And I want to do great things for you, Lord. I want you to use me, Lord, for your honor and glory. And Lord, these decisions that I have in regards to my future, Lord, I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. So instead of making plans and going way out there and getting all in over our heads and then asking God to bail us out, James says, stop. Before you make any more plans, before you dream these huge dreams that don't involve God, come back and just remember that it all starts with God's sovereignty and lordship on your life. And instead, James says, we ought to get on our knees and say, Lord, if it is your will, I'll do this or that. James says, if you just keep God at the center, God can bless that. Because He's leading us as we stay humble and as we stay committed to Him, He can lead us. Baptism is a public testimony of our desire to follow Jesus, to acknowledge Him as the one who came to give His life in my place, and He is the only one capable to lead my life. Baptism is another way of expressing, I'm not in charge of my life. He is. Amen? I have decided to follow Jesus. In baptism, the follower of Jesus acknowledges. Here's what the follower of Jesus says. I acknowledge that I have acted on my desire to replace God's lordship and His subsequent claim on my life with my own attempts at ruling and reigning my life and the lives of others. And I resign my position as ruler of my life. And I invite Jesus to sit in the seat of Lord, the center of my life. Baptism says, if you're looking for me, you know where I can be found. I will be attending the means of grace offered by God in His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and through His body, the church. I am forgiven and free. I am growing and maturing in His grace. I am not perfect, but I am striving to be who God has created me to be. I will be walking the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35:8-10. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. So this morning, I want to invite you to be baptized. Say, I'm not ready. Well, let's get ready. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming again. Could be today. And if you didn't come prepared to be baptized, but are ready to follow Him and make a public profession of faith, I invite you to do that this morning. We're going to do that in a little bit. I'll talk just a moment about church membership because this flows in with this theme of what James is talking about. Baptism is a resignation of my place as well, that I have assumed as ruler and reign of my life. Church membership is also a way to live in participation with a local community of faith that sees you on a daily basis doing life. Church members see each other at Walmart. They work together. They're at the grocery store together. They're members of the same body. They're fellow church members in the same context, in the same body, moving together. They celebrate with you. They mourn with you. And there is beautiful accountability and genuine commitment to spiritual growth and formation in church membership. Church membership says on a Sunday morning, you'll know where I'll be. Unless, I mean, dedicating a baby, grandbaby down in another church. But church membership says, I'll be a part of the church work wherever it is. You can count on me. I'll be there. Church membership says, when there's something going on, I'm a part of it. I'm a part of the body of Christ. You know where I'll be. I'll be worshiping God. I'll be joining with the larger body of Christ, preparing for greater works of service. I will be serving. I'll be part of the workings of the church, that is Christ's body. Now you are the body of Christ, Paul says, and each of you is a part of it. Boy, it's almost like in our world today, commitment has got a bad rap, huh? And we think, well, commitment is going to tie me down. Duh. And I mean that in a good way, because commitment focuses our energy. We have marriage commitments. We have marriage ceremonies. We have marriage covenants because we can't have a man and a woman going out there and being involved in this person's life and being involved in that person's life and then coming back together and trying to build a life together. It just doesn't work. Well, unless you watch some of the, you know, modern sitcoms, and which are put together to make it look like it works, but what a difficult road. And I just want to encourage, marriage is still classy. Amen. Marriage is still beautiful. Marriage is still blessed by God, and it is a picture of our relationship that we have with Christ. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. You'll never see a fiance, you know, the guy. You'll never see the guy talking bad about his bride. Amen. Now he may see some stuff. You know, he may see, you know, what she looks like in the morning, but he doesn't say, "My goodness, girl, you are a mess." Can you hear me all the way back? As the body of Christ, committed in a committed relationship with the church, we only talk good about the bride. Friends, we don't have the authority to talk bad about Christ's bride. Amen? We need to admire her for who she is. Even though this worldwide expression of who she is blows our minds sometimes, she's beautiful. So we affirm that this is God's plan and that He calls us His body. And so we affirm, we don't talk bad about it, even when we see problems, even, and by the way, brides might have a wrinkle here and there, might have a zit, might have a problem here and there, but we talk good about the church because if we don't, we're talking bad about the bride of Christ for whom He died. And we do our best to affirm and build the bride of Christ. Amen? It doesn't mean that we turn our eye to the issues that are there and that we can't help and help provide a solution to by support and building up, but we are part of the body. We are the bride of Christ. We are His body. It's funny how people group together, isn't it? Even outside the church, you can see, you know, there's people out there today doing, you know, model train stuff. There's people out there today gathered around particular values and particular things, interests and hobbies. We are gathered today together because we are united in the values of Christ in His life. As Christians, we work together. Did you know that the Church of the Nazarene registered this week in the Republic of Singapore? Though we are different, we join together to accomplish a work that is bigger than even the sum of all of us put together. People of diverse backgrounds, languages, countries, and experiences belong to the body of Christ. We are united in Christ. Registering in the Republic of Singapore this week, there might be a picture back there. Just a congregation about our size, forging a work. They call themselves the Bread of the House of Bread, Church of the Nazarene in Singapore. We've been there for years, working, building relationships, and the time has come for us to register with the government and say, we're here. And the denomination can come in and begin to build some structure and organization, and it's a beautiful thing. But we're part of that. We're now officially in 159 world areas with 704 missionaries sent from 35 world areas. We are 29,945 local churches strong. We are among the 2,441,372 members of the church. We are among the 1,500,000 attendees worshiping this morning around the world. Together, we gave nearly $9 million for the missional work of Jesus Christ around the world. And that's from people in Africa that may be able to give $3 a year. I didn't do the math, but per capita giving here in the United States is somewhere around $1,500 a year. In Africa, it may be $2. But what an amazing thing when we join together with the body of Christ and see what happens. We live in an age where commitment has a bad word, but I love our church. I love our local church, and I love our denomination. I love the big church. Amen. The Bible teaches membership in the body. Being part of a larger group is a given. And there is no provision made for someone who's trying to forge their own kind of faith, living out all by themselves. It's totally atypical of what Scripture teaches. We're meant to be together. Not just Church of the Nazarene, but Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. We're part of a very diverse body. I could go on here and go on, but what I'd like to do is invite anyone who would like to become a member this morning to come up front, and those who have also been thinking about baptism this morning, if you're prepared to be baptized and have a change of clothes or whatever, you can be dismissed right now and go ahead and make preparations. But for now, I'd like to invite those who would like to become members in this local church to come up front. Jason. It's been good to get to know Jason in the last probably 8 months you've been coming?
Yeah, about eight months.
I just want you to know, Jason, as we have seen you come into the church, and your testimony, your humility, and the way that God is leading, we are the blessed ones to have you here. And we hope that we are a blessing to you in every way that we can be as the body of Christ. You have a unique set of gifts and talents. And we really feel that you are bringing some real assets to the kingdom here. And we feel humbled to be a part of that, Jason. I want to share from our manual this morning some words about church membership. The privileges and blessings that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. There is in such hallowed fellowship as cannot otherwise be known. There's helpfulness with brotherly watch, care, and counsel as can only be found in the church. There is godly care of pastors with the teachings of the word and helpful inspiration of corporate worship that we have had here today. And there's cooperation and service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be known. The doctrines upon which the church rests are brief. Let me just share a few of them, the core essentials. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We especially emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin and that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit, that subsequent to this, there is a deep work of heart cleansing or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that to each of these works of grace, the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead will be raised, and that all will come to final judgment with its rewards and punishments. Do you heartily believe these truths, Jason? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and do you realize that He has a claim on your life?
I do.
Praise
I
the Lord. Would you welcome Jason to us this morning as a new member of the Living Well Church of the Nazarene? Amen. Making sure that's not too warm. Thank you, Jay. There's no Calgon in the water. As we prepare to baptized today, I want to close with three questions that are ultimately important for our lives. Number one, in your heart, are you asking God what His will is before you make a decision? Every decision. You know, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing, and that's what this is. It's a constant mindfulness of His claim of lordship and sovereignty in our lives. And it's a continual humility before Him. It is a separation from the arrogance and pride that James talks about. He says, to boast about, you know, I'm going to go do this and go do that as if there is no God. James says it's arrogant and prideful. He says that's evil. And it has no place in a follower of Christ's verbiage and lifestyle. Instead, we should be known for our humility. Acknowledging, you know, I want to do all I can, and boy, wouldn't it be awesome to see that thing, that goal happen, but I'm gonna follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's His will, He can count on me to be a follower. Number two, in your speech, are you acknowledging the lordship of God as you share your daily commentary on how things are going in your life, the daily conversations, the texts, the phone calls? in your daily commentary, in your words, in your actions, in your life, does it reflect an accurate understanding, an accurate perspective that there is a God who created us, who has claim, total claim on our life? You know, hardships happen in our lives. Disappointments happen. And we can kick the dirt, kick the ground, and we can kick the dog. And what we don't realize sometimes is that this disregard of His sovereignty and lordship through speech and texts has an impact and has an implication on the lives of others. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to acknowledge His lordship and sovereignty in our speech. Number three, is there anything that you know you should be doing in acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus Christ, yet you haven't yet followed through? James closes this little passage here with saying, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and isn't, but doesn't do it, it's sin. And you see, when we acknowledge the lordship and sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do that, you already know what God's will is for you. Maybe not specifically, but you already know what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Amen? You already know. You don't have to wake up wondering what my job is tomorrow. You'll know where I'll be. Acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus Christ. So James says, if you know and are in touch with the Holy Spirit in that way, and He gives you something to do, you already know you ought to do it. And in fact, if you don't do it, and you turn back and say, well, that doesn't fit my plan for the day, God says you're doing exactly what James is talking about. So, is there anything that you should be doing right now in acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus Christ that you have yet to follow through on? I want to invite you this morning to come and kneel and pray. To kneel in prayer is a way to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is a way to express our love and submission to Him. It is a place where we lay our plans at His feet and submit to His lordship. You can do it right where you're at, but I'd like to sing a little chorus a cappella this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. A simple acknowledgement this morning of His lordship and sovereignty in your life and mine. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and each of us will have an opportunity to pray that prayer this morning of humility and acknowledgement of His lordship and sovereignty. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Lord, we acknowledge You as our Savior, the Lord of the universe and Lord of our hearts. We freely vacate the throne room of our life and invite You to come and take Your rightful place. And as You're there, Lord, we invite You to administer Your help and healing in every area of our life, from our relationships to our finances, from our emotional distress to our mental anguish. Lord, bring Your help and healing in every area of our life, we pray. But we want to make sure that this one that is dependent upon our decision, our own volition, our own point of of work, our own point of decision. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not God. You are. And Lord, we welcome your restoration, healing work in our life. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're ready to make a public profession of your faith this morning by being baptized as a believer of Jesus Christ, I'd like to invite you to come on up, whether you're ready or not. What I mean by that is if you brought a change of clothes or not. I want you to get used to that water, so I'm going to invite you to go ahead and get in there. I'm going to have you kind of work your way down. It's nice and warm. Is it too warm?
No.
Okay. Before you go down any further, what we're going to do is we're going to have you sit down in the water. And I know that might take a little bit because it's very warm. But I know you have been thinking about some words that kind of share your journey of faith. And I want to give you a microphone, but not one that's electric. In case you were to drop it, we love you. So I'm just going to give you this microphone here and ask you to share a few things about what has led you to be here today. Being a part of believers' baptism.
Okay, well, most of you know I'm Shelley Long, and I'm just going to read this because I'm kind of nervous up here. But so I was baptized as a baby and grew up in a Christian home, and knowing I had already been baptized, I never thought that I needed to do it again. But as I've been growing on my spiritual walk, I wanted to confirm my faith and give my life to God when I can say, yes, I want to live my life for God. I've had a fear holding me back for a while, and that fear is being put underwater. But I've been praying about it and about being baptized, and then Pastor John came to see me one day last week, and we were just talking about things, and baptism came up. And I again hesitated and didn't tell him I wanted to be baptized. And then all of a sudden I felt this little gentle push from behind. And so, no, he was in front of me. And so I knew this was the time and that God has me. So.
Baptism is a sign and seal of the new covenant of grace, the significance of which is attested to by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans as follows. Romans 6, 3 through 5, it says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." The earliest and simplest statement of Christian belief into which Shelley now comes to be baptized is the Apostles' Creed, which reads as follows: "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you be baptized into this faith today, Shelley?"
Do you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Will you obey God's holy call on your life, acknowledging that He has plans for you? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you at this moment that is a milestone in the life of our church. It's a milestone, it's a marker that Shelley is voluntarily putting in place right now. It is something, Lord, that is bigger than us. It's not something we are constructing on our own effort. It is rather a humble reception of your grace and mercy in her life and in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this walk. Thank you for her obedience to you. Thank you for her faith. Thank you for her for salvation. Thank you for the plans you have for her. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that she is in our lives, for her children, for her husband, for her work in the church as head steward, for all of the things that she does in conversations, acknowledging your lordship as she gives commentary to what's happening in her life on the phone and in text. Lord, thank you that you are Lord and Savior of her today. And we acknowledge this in this simple form of grace called believer's baptism. And we participate in it freely, Lord. We say yes to what you're doing in her life and in ours as we too participate in this moment of grace. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shelley, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, I now baptize you. Plenty of towels. Thank you. Bless you. You know, this is more than just one person getting baptized. Amen. This is a participation together in the community of faith. And though it wasn't Deb getting in the water today, we celebrate her baptism, her faith in Lord Jesus. It wasn't Jason getting in the water today. We celebrate what God's doing in his life. It wasn't Devin. It wasn't Steve. It's all of us as a body of Christ celebrating God's work in us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Shelley, I want you to know that the song that we sang, I was thinking about your journey. And I would like us to think about the words as we sing it as a closing song this morning. It says, "You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood runs through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All my fears were drowned in your perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Worship team, would you join me here? We're going to try to sing this again, which is brand new for us. I'd also like to sing it on Easter, and I'd love to put together a choir as we work on this. If you're interested in being a part of that, kind of a chamber choir, 8 or 10 voices, would you talk to me after the service? We're going to try to sing it, and I believe that this is everybody's testimony, amen? This was the testimony of the Israelites as they walked out and had to take God at his word, to say, I'm going to deliver you, even though the Egyptians were chasing them and there was a Red Sea in front of them. I'm going to deliver. And today we follow.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, chosen me, love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Love flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. A slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All of my fears were drowned. So I could stand and sing, I am a child of God.
Split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You rescued me drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing, I am a child. A slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am,
there we go,
a child of God. I am a child of God.
I am a child.
I am a child.
Good job, guys. praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. May God bless you as you live in His Word and live in His presence. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next Sunday. Lord willing, if it's the Lord's will. Amen. Yep.